where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and purpose by embracing our divine essence. And we have Crystal Alexander Hill on the show today. She is the embodiment of the divine feminine. That's what she's come here to do. Crystal comes from a soul lineage of high priestesses in ancient Egypt and beyond. I think that's why we get along so well, Crystal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is her purpose to assist human consciousness to move from the current self-centered, egotistical, patriarchal systems into empowering women to feel comfortable in their full power and to fully reawaken the divine feminine on this planet. And I'm really excited because Crystal and I today are talking about ancient sexuality, modern sexuality, and how sexuality is our power. Our connection to our sexual energy is a connection to our innate power within us. Hey, just a quick note from me, Kiara, before we begin the podcast. I want to invite you to a new way of being in your life and in your business. If you are a lightworker who has a big vision for the world and is currently maybe doing that from a little bit of a doing, action, wounded masculine paradigm, but would rather be doing it in a space of deep trust and faith and attraction, if you would like to become an irresistible magnet for your desires and have your manifestations become inevitable and effortless, then I would love to talk with you. I offer bespoke, high-end, one-on-one retreats, and I'm going to be traveling a lot of the world in the next few months, so I'm probably going to be somewhere near you in that time. If you would like to explore whether I can help you move from action and like overworking to actually living the life that you desire and having that flow to you so effortlessly, then I would love for you to go to aninspiredlife.com.au/connect. And you can book a free discovery session with me so I can help you connect to your divine essence, receive desires and a clear vision for your life in alignment with your soul's path. And then we can explore if you would like my support to have that come so magnetically to you in such a state of flow and ease and grace, rather than just working hard because we think we have to. My name's Kiara, and inspiredlife.com.au/connect for your free discovery session. And now you can get straight into the podcast with Crystal. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Crystal. I'm so excited about this.
Thank you so much for having me. I think we're going to have an inspiring, enlightening and fun conversation today.
Definitely.
Taking all the taboos, all the shame out of this power that we have.
Yes. So can you share with us first your story? Did you grow up in the wounded masculine? I mean, you grew up in the paradigm, the society of it at least, but were you being the wounded masculine before you came home to your divine feminine?
Definitely, yes. You know, I believe that we all need to, if something is our purpose, we all need to experience the opposite of that first in order to develop the muscle to transition out of it, and in order to then help other women or other men or whoever we're working with to do the same. So we have to experience that. So I chose to grow up in Germany in a family. I was a vicar's daughter, so there was, you know, morality was very a big value. It was interesting because it wasn't expressed, like I was never told you are not allowed to do this or you're not meant to do that, but there was an I feel like it was like subtly conveyed. My mum was a very asexual being. She was always wearing scarves and things, never exposed anything. And was very much in her wounded feminine. So, and my dad was, obviously he was the vicar, so he's the leader of his church, the leader of his community. And so I had a choice to make who I was going to model myself on. You know, it was an unconscious choice, of course, but we all, I believe, do that. And I saw my mum as being weak, her femininity, the little that was there was wounded. And I thought, no, I'm not gonna do that. So I chose to go into becoming like my dad, becoming a high achiever. And in terms of the sexuality, it was always a curiosity because that's part of my soul lineage, my essence. But it came out through the patterns and filters that I'd absorbed. Like, so I would feel it was forbidden to have one-night stands, but I would do them anyway, and I would feel naughty about it. And I also was wounded in that I was doing it to prove myself. I would almost, like in the early days, I would put on a role of the good lover. I wasn't being authentically me. I was playing games to please the man. And and that was the games I played. And realizing that, you know, I probably didn't have orgasms in my sexual encounters, at least I don't remember, for a very long time. Mm. And my liberation started when in 2006, I got together with a highly passionate, highly sexual man, and he was also interested in Tantra. So he introduced me to that, and I thought, well, I better catch up here.
And you'll notice if I'm just playing along, right?
Oh, yeah, you're just nodding. Yeah, so I started reading books, and I had a time away from him. I came across this book, Female Ejaculation and the G-Spot. So I literally taught myself from a book. This is where my pleasure journey began, like my self-pleasuring journey of reclaiming through knowledge, how learning and discovering about my body and what it does and how it responds. Before that, I think my self-pleasure, I only touched myself down there if I had a thrush. And then I realized, oh, actually, this does feel quite good. There's a bit of release here that can happen. But it was that book that really, really got me on that journey of actually self-pleasuring, getting to know my body, and then bringing what I learned by myself into a partnership. And I feel like for me, that was really important part of becoming also fully orgasmic. I had to do it by myself first because I would have been too ashamed to voice and to sound out with a partner straight away. So I would do it when nobody was at home, and getting familiar in that way, saying, oh, actually, this is amazing. So, and then trying it out with a partner. So that was, you know, in a nutshell, kind of that was my journey into a full sexual empowerment.
I love it. Thank you for sharing. Do you know, I have to laugh, and I am constantly amazed at how much I actually share on these podcast interviews. But I have to laugh because when I went through, like, I'd been with my first partner for 5.5 years and we had a great sex life, but I'd never figured out that whole, like, squirting thing. And so one day I worked from home, and one day I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I, like, sat in bed and did not think until I'd figured it out. My housemate came home and I was like, we're going out to celebrate. She's like, celebrate what? I was like, I did it 5 times. So excited. But when people, like my friends, often if there's a group of like women together, they're like, so how do you do it? Because it's funny, but most women haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
It's fun, so I recommend it. But they often ask me, like, how do you do that? And I say, I did it by myself first. I think that if you don't know what's happening by yourself, like if you're with a partner, you can be really scared of what's happening in your body. Like, I don't know what's going to go down here. So I do think that self-pleasure is a really big part of feeling empowered with a partner as well. So thank you for sharing that. We've already gotten really, really into
right in there.
So Crystal, one of the things that I'm so excited for you to share with us about is the ancient part of sexuality, and I don't know very much about it. I'm really excited to hear more about I guess what role sexuality played in ancient times. As a former high priestess in like ancient Egypt and beyond, I feel like you can really shed the light on that. And I really want to say, I told you this just before our podcast, but I'm still amazed every day that I'm not living in a temple, just like dancing while people watch me, witness me dance. And like, we're making love as if it's a healing practice, like a sexual, yeah, spiritual practice. I'm still amazed that I'm going to create it one day. Everyone can come to my temple. Feel free to send me a message if you want to come to the temple. We'll create the temple or be a part of it. But yeah, so I really want to know, where does that come from, that feeling? Yes. What kind of lives have we had back then that created that?
Yeah, sexuality was a really, really integral part of the community, of life, because the women honored, or men as well, honored the goddess who had shown them how to procreate, how to give life. And so in order to celebrate their life, they would go into the temples and have sex in honor of the goddess. That was their spiritual practice, to have sex. And I know for us that sounds like, what? They're going to the temple to have sex? This thing that we don't do that is so moral, you know, that we just do in the dark bedroom, that they did that in the temples and that was a spiritual practice. And, you know, when I'm tuning in and I'm reconnecting, it is just such a liberating feeling. And of course, with that celebration, and because they were taught, they were having proper sexual education, practical as well as theoretical. So I imagine, you know, the girls would go to Sunday school, or so-called Sunday school, prior to their first moon cycle, and would learn about their body, would learn about what makes them tick and how things are. And then there's a beautiful initiation practice that I remembered and sort of pieced together. And when the first moon was for the girls, their mothers would take them into the temple and they would become initiated. So firstly, into their sexuality. So firstly, the high priestess would show them what it feels like, what it looks like to have an orgasm by bringing herself into an orgasmic state. So these young girls could witness her in her pleasure, seeing that this is natural and totally normal. And seeing a high priestess doing that and showing herself and sharing herself in this openness and vulnerability, I believe is, you know, incredibly empowering. And I've just run this workshop, Return to the Temple of Isis, and we do that as well, and it is so liberating to naturalize something that we're not even allowed to do in our society. We're not even meant to masturbate or, you know, self-pleasure. So to have it exposed in the temples, or recreating the temple in a workshop, is liberating. So liberating. It takes away all the shame. And of course, these women, these girls, never had any shame in the first place, because that was their initiation into sexuality. And so after the high priestess would have brought herself into these orgasmic states, the priestesses or mothers would then caress and pleasure the girl. So there would be several hands on her, so that her mind would totally take itself out of the equation, and she could just feel the sensations. Because if there's more than one partner, our mind can't comprehend it, which is why I love group scenarios, because I go into a different state when that happens. That is, the mind just goes, it can't process what's happening. So you have to drop into your body. So this is how I remember it being for these ancient women as well, these ancient girls. And then when they were ready, you know, they're coming to a point of orgasm, being stimulated in their genital areas as well. At the point of orgasm, they would insert a crystal wand to break the hymen in order for the flow to fully be able to flow, because if there's a hymen, there's some sort of restriction. So they would break the hymen, and in that, saying, okay, now you are really initiated into your womanhood, into your feminine flow.
Wow, that is so different. So different than experience.
Imagine how empowering that is, to come into your sexuality with knowledge and experience. So they wouldn't even come together with a man until they were trained. And in fact, the training would also happen under supervision, I feel. Like, you know, I haven't read this anywhere. This is just what I'm piecing together. But in order for it to be sacred, in order for sexuality to really be a full body experience and not just centered around the genitals, but involving all the chakras, for that sexual energy that is our life force energy, our power to open and ignite all the other chakras, and opening them up as well, so that we can have that connection to the divine through our crown. And I find myself in my self-pleasure often touching all my chakras as well, just to bringing attention, awareness, and energy to those other centers. And in doing so, just dropping into the body and expanding that even more.
Wow, it's so beautiful. And how do you feel that the men would have been trained or initiated into sex?
I feel they would have gone to Sunday school as well. They would have learned about their own sexuality. They would have learned about their own natural instincts. You know, we all have sexual instincts, and they, for men, they're different to women. So they would have been also taught about how to honor a woman. The woman being the creatrix, she is the one who has the creative energy that can create and birth babies. So there was a real honoring of the goddess within each woman, because each woman was almost like a manifestation of that. And for the men to come with that attitude and knowing how to honor her temple, knowing what to do to a woman, with a woman, in partnership with a woman. And for the, so I feel like the men were also, they were initiated by the priestesses. So the men would, the young men would have sex after they'd learned all the theory with the priestesses.
Yeah.
So an experienced woman who is in her full divine feminine essence would be initiating a man into his sexuality by being with him. And so only once that happened could they go back to their, their back home and practice and be with a like-minded or a woman that they might marry later on. But marriage wasn't even the first thing. As soon as women, I read, were initiated, they would go and travel, and because people wanted to know whether they were fertile or not. So there were these celebrations, and you see papyruses of dancing and music and singing and fully public. And then that would be the foreplay to an orgy where they would then have sexual intercourse and be together. And it was all, as you were saying, being witnessed, it was all, as that's just how they did it. And I know there is this incredible sense of freedom to be able to share that, which is our natural power, our innate life force, really, to share that freely and be able to express that freely without judgment, or because it is natural, because it is celebrating the goddess.
I feel like, can you just create a world where we live like that, please?
I am. When you were saying about your temple, you want to create a temple, I was like, yeah, I'm already heading there myself. I'm heading there. I'm so knowing that this is going to happen. So,
beautiful. So you mentioned before that men and women have different sexual drives and desires. Something that I've just recently read about in the Queen's Code, like they've just asked, what does a man, what does sex provide to a man and what does sex provide to a woman? And I'd love for you to share your insight on that, please.
So for a woman, it is more of a full body experience. The woman's positive center is the heart, so it's very important for her heart to be open, and that then infuses, that then arouses her. Like, and for a man, it's the other way around. His positive center is his penis, and so he doesn't need the foreplay that a woman needs. If he's ready, he's ready, and he can go. Whereas a woman needs to have that honoring first of every part of her, that almost like a worshipping. And I feel like it's important for women also to know that about a man, that a man, he wants his penis held. He doesn't necessarily need all the other stuff that can come after. I give attention to that first. At least that's sort of my experience. And I feel like that's, yeah, give attention to that. And then from there, we can go to the full body and take that energy into the full body. And for the woman, it's almost from the heart down.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that was ancient sexuality, right? But in the modern day, things are quite different. So I'd love to talk about, I want to get into the, like, how is our sexual energy our power and how do we harness that and things like that. But I do want to talk about the contrast, I guess, between ancient sexuality and, like, modern dating, because I am currently single, and I am a really empowered sexual being. Like, I really enjoy sex. I don't know if anyone who's been paying attention to the podcast, I really like it. And I've noticed that that there's still this conditioning that says that I should not show how sexual I am straight away when I meet someone, or that, you know, I don't want him to just want me for sex if I meet someone. But I also really enjoy sex. So I want to get, like, so can you talk to us about how we can be empowered sexual beings dating in the modern world?
It's about letting go of the cultural story that we've conditioned to believe as truth. And I'm going to go back into the history here for just a moment and bring me back if you have to. When, you know, these were the goddess cultures that we talked about. They were in Sumeria, Mesopotamia, ancient Egypt. That was how women lived. The temples were the stronghold. And then in 1200 BC, the Hebrews invaded Canaan. They were patriarchal tribes. And in order for them to gain control of the nationals and, you know, natives of those areas, they needed to break that goddess cult, because women were having babies and nobody knew who the father was. In order to have control over that, they introduced and doctored the Bible, or introduced rules that the woman belonged to the man. She would first belong to her father and then she would belong to her husband. There was nothing in between. So she needed to, there was ownership put on a woman. And if a woman feels owned, of course, you know, we are not owning ourselves anymore. So this is a history that is still resonating, even if we're not religious. It is something that also the original sin, you know, every culture has an original story of sin. And I've got a quote here and I really want to bring it in. It's from the book When God Was a Woman. Every culture has a story of the original evil, in which humanity is separated from their original purpose by disobeying divine orders. And the divine orders were what the patriarchy edited. It wasn't actually divine orders. It was something they said was divine in order to control the population. So, you know, the story goes that Adam first was married to Lilith. But Lilith, as we know, is a very powerful, sensual goddess. And the story goes that she didn't want to go into a submissionary position. She didn't want to say we're not equal. She didn't want to say that the woman, the people, we beings all come out of the womb of the woman. Mm-hmm. And the story that Christianity made is that Eve was created out of Adam's rib. So straight away, it's been turned around, and Lilith was cast out of the kind, out of paradise, because she was empowered. And they didn't want that. So they created Eve, who was a submissive woman, who then, when she was tempted by wisdom and knowledge through the snake, which is really a metaphor for Lilith, the empowered woman, like the snake in the ancient times represented wisdom. And often the priestess would take the venom of the snake in order to connect to the divine. So it's really interesting how it's all been slightly edited and doctored. So Eve then suddenly realized that she was naked because she had more wisdom, and then that she was punished. And the story that childbirth, you know, from now on we're going to punish all women and making childbirth painful. You know, there's all these stories that are infiltrating our culture. Whether we are religious or not, we have inherited them through our DNA, in our DNA. And so it is It is the stories that I'm sharing with you, you know, of how it used to be. Just by putting a different story in place to show it doesn't have to be this way. There were times when it was different. That gives permission to be liberated and to be who we really are. So the way to claim that sexual power, that sexual freedom, is by realizing that there are other stories and we don't have to believe what we have been taught, and to really listen to within and what really resonates here, what really makes me feel good, and to give ourselves permission. You know, in the workshop I was running recently, it was about, you know, a woman said, "My God, you've just given me permission to be the wild woman, to be expressive. I thought I couldn't because I thought I would be too much."
And you talked with me just before we began about, we're going to shift gears a little bit now, about when you fully surrendered into your divine feminine energy and your partner then could step more into his divine masculine energy. And so we have this fear of being too much, but I think that our too much can actually give our partners and the people around us more permission as well. Can you share with us a little bit about that side of things? Like, so actually, just before you begin, one of the things I'm really passionate about is that we all know that we have feminine and masculine energy inside of ourselves, both of them, and that we need to have a healthy relationship to our feminine and our masculine internally to be able to have it in the external world. But I, particularly with you, Crystal, would love to know how they balance in a partnership, I guess. So I'd love to hear your experience and your wisdom around when the woman is in her feminine, or the feminine dominant being is in her feminine and the masculine dominant being is in his masculine. How does that relate? You know, how do the two dynamics work together?
In sexual partnership, or So when I, as the feminine, give myself permission to let go of the mind and really tap into my state of being, my feeling, my sensations, and also, yeah, just letting go. And in the letting go, I'm doing this because it's like it creates that connection to divine, something greater than me. It's connecting my higher self to my physical self, almost through that act of sexuality when it comes into those orgasmic states. And so a man in relation to that really is somebody who, when he's in his divine masculine, he can hold that space, that container for me to go into that. But at the same time, it's me going into it first and giving him permission to just hold that space. So the empowered feminine doesn't need the container first. She can create the container from within. She can say, right, she can make that decision and say, right, I'm going to go into that space now. And as she does, if she has a responsive partner, he will drop into that space with her. That's been my experience.
Awesome. Okay, so back to modern dating, because I'm just going to ask the questions that I want to ask, right? So I have noticed since I met a beautiful divine masculine recently, I've noticed that my ability to receive is being really challenged and that there's some resistance to being able to fully surrender and just be with that. And so I'd love to hear how you invite women to be able to surrender more and receive more.
Is it, I feel like you can't just answer that in one, I feel like I can't generalize that. If anything, I would say it comes back to the self-pleasure. If you know that you can give to yourself that pleasure, then you can guide a man to do exactly what feels right for you in every moment, from a space of you know, there's ways in which we can give feedback to a man. Sometimes we say, "Oh, don't do that," And that's, of course, will then push the man away. Oh, that's too hard. Mm-hmm. So it's about finding a beautiful, honoring way in which we can communicate to our men how to pleasure us so that we can receive that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we know that, because we learn that from our self-pleasure practice, then it becomes easier. And knowing that, you know, if there's maybe even setting an intention with that, with a man in the beginning, saying, okay, this is what this lovemaking session is about. This is what I would love to experience. Can you hold space for me in that? Then we're all on the same, level. We know what's expected. The man knows what the woman wants. And yeah. And then that can be more explored.
Yeah. And for men listening, what does the woman want?
It depends. She's unpredictable, isn't she? It depends from every moment. And I feel this is so important for men to know. You know, we are so unpredictable. Our body wants one thing the one minute and one other thing the other minute. And sometimes we don't even understand what's going on and why it's going on. So for a man to know that it's just about communication, just asking and checking in and not staying in the head about it, not saying, is that what you want? Is this what you want? But just, you know, dropping in and then coming from that place to communicate. But what a woman wants, yeah, as I said, it's different. But generally she wants a heart connection to make her feel seen and honored, not just for her sexuality, but for her being. And once that is established, you know, once her body is her temple, once her whole temple is honored, then the inner sanctum is open, it will be opened for him to enter. So that is, you know, so important that the body is honored. And sometimes a woman has already done that and she's so on and said, right, let's just, you know, sometimes she's in her wild woman and she just can't wait to jump on a man. So it just depends. But, you know, in general, I feel, that the temple needs to be honored first.
Yeah, you're so right. And sometimes I ask questions and then I'm like, I would not know how to answer that question. Because you're so right, because we want different things at different times and all women can want different things. Just felt like it was worth, like the men who were listening, I could hear them in my energetic audience over here. And yeah, they were like, but wait, what do they actually want?
Yes.
But good general tip, come through the heart. That's a good for sure.
I love setting an intention, you know, set an intention for that lovemaking session. Ask the woman, what do you want from this session? Mm. Is there anything you want to explore, anything you want to experience? And then for the man as well, maybe he wants to explore something or experience something as well.
Awesome. So can you talk to us about the connection between the sexual energy and our empowered, powerful selves? How do they relate?
Because our sexuality, like the womb, is where we're creating from. It is life-giving energy. It is how we come into this world. So it's where our creative essence is based, in the sacral chakra. So as the sacral chakra is open and flowing and expanded, we are in a state of life force and can manifest from that place. And that gives us power. You know, that ignites our power, especially as women, to be in that space. Because a woman who is sexually liberated has a glow to her, there's also a don't mess with me, like she knows herself. I remember really distinctly when I was in my 20s, I often didn't know what to do with the attraction that I was attracting, like the looks and the male attention. I often would like feel slightly uncomfortable because I felt sexualized, objectified. And that was because I wasn't fully in my sexual power. I wasn't fully in my power, full stop, in my divine feminine essence. And so now when I get male attention, I don't feel that anymore. I just feel I'm sharing my radiance and my glow, and that is acknowledging that. So it's a completely different experience now. And I've forgotten your question.
It's okay. I'm sure you answered it perfectly because I don't remember it either. So I'm just listening to you.
Yeah, so just flowing on.
Yeah. So what about people pleasing? So in ancient times, they were so embodied in their own sexuality that they knew how to communicate what they desired, and they'd been trained as well to know how to please each other in an empowered way. And you talked about making love when you were younger and feeling as though you were kind of just putting on a show for the other person, or almost wanting to be good for them, to be a good lover but not for you. How do people who are listening that are feeling like that, how do they embrace their own power and stop trying to please the other?
I'm just trying to realize my journey through that. It's first claiming it for yourself within yourself before you can share it and communicate with the other. And I think it's coming back, if we're talking sexually, it comes back to knowing your body and that, so that you, I know that these days I can position myself, I can, to know exactly how to get the pleasure that I'm looking for. So I can now take my pleasure because I know my body so well that I know which position and what I need to do and how I need to move in order to get that. And in a disempowered state, I would have never dared to do that. Because I would have felt like maybe I'm offending the other person. But there is a knowing, I know now from experience that men absolutely love a woman who knows her body, who gives herself permission to be in her sensual sexuality and being and glowing in that, because that's what's attractive. So in the past, I might also have worried about my body and whether I was a little bit too this or too that. And now I know that there's nothing more turning off a man than a woman sharing her insecurities about her body. Mm. So it's about really finding a way to loving every part of yourself, knowing that for some reason you have chosen this body to give you certain experiences. If you have a slightly larger frame, there will be a reason why this is so, why you need that in order to fulfill your purpose. So it's about finding ways to love every part of you. And if you've gained weight and you don't like it, it's okay. Understand for what purpose you've gained the weight so that you get the higher wisdom of that weight, and then you can make that choice. Right, I'm going to lose that weight again because I've gotten what I needed, so I can move on from that again. And so, a woman loving her, all of herself, is the most attractive thing for a man. And self-love is the way, finding self-love is the way to moving from that disempowered way of wanting to please to actually knowing the pleasure and sharing my, it's for me, I'm sharing my pleasure with a man now rather than giving him pleasure. He is coming into my pleasure zone. Mm. And together we raise that. So that's how it's happening now.
And I feel like there are so many people who are going into sexual experiences feeling like, I need to do the right thing, do the right hand movement. I remember when I was younger, I was like, I've got to do the right hand movements and move my body the right way and make the right sounds, and so much what was right. And I've realized, growing up, it's a process. I realized that actually in my sexual experiences, that there is nothing that the man enjoys more than my pleasure.
Exactly.
They want to feel as though they are providing our pleasure. And it almost, it creates, so it's like a wounded masculine and feminine paradigm at the beginning, because she wants to please and he just then will take his pleasure because she's almost not even in her own empowered state. Mm. He can't give her real pleasure. He can feel that unconsciously. So they're just like in this wounded paradigm. But when she shifts into embracing her own pleasure and fully surrendering, like just really receiving, then he shifts into, oh my gosh, look how much pleasure I can give her. And that's all he wants to do. And so there is a real like wounded feminine and masculine versus like divine feminine and masculine. And when we move into that paradigm, that's when we have the spiritual connection. That's when like our bodies are a vessel to truly connect to the divine in that.
Exactly. Beautiful. And one other thing for the wounded male, I know a lot of men who are wanting a woman to orgasm because that will then make them feel like they're a good lover. And so sometimes the wounded woman will please the man by forcing herself or trying to get to that orgasm faster, whereas her body might just want to take the time. We cannot get into a full body pleasurable zone if we're chasing the orgasm. So for men listening, allow the woman, like just follow her body, you know, listen to the subtle signs that her body gives you and don't pressure her into the climax. Allow her to experience that fullness and allow that, you know, that pleasure to build throughout her whole body. And that will, yeah, that zone that is created can become really sacred and really yummy and juicy and beyond, you know, transcending the body, and it becomes that spiritual expanded experience.
So I want to go back to the ability to receive for a second. I have been reading The Big Leap recently, and they talk about, Gay Hendricks talks about how we have certain upper limits in terms of what we are able to receive in terms of like love and joy and success and abundance. And I feel like I'm hitting a pleasure upper limit. I'm like, I don't know if I can actually physically withstand any more pleasure. It's a really good problem to have, I know. But in case there's anyone else out there feeling the same way, because I think it's probably something that we often do unconsciously as well. So you might be making love and then you think about like the washing, or you suddenly become not present, or something happens that like shifts like the energy. I think unconsciously we are creating these limits and we are stopping ourselves from feeling more pleasure in sex, which translates to our entire lives. And clearly you've nailed a lot of pleasure. you've got that down pat. So what did you do? I'm sure at some point you came up against upper limits. How did you receive more pleasure than you thought was like even possible?
So sexual energy, sexual encounters are not just about creating pleasure. Sometimes the intensity of the emotions can create tears and release. Because we're stirring things up, we're opening that sexual chakra. And so if there's any trauma or any shame, any guilt, any fears around that that are being hit and opened up, it may not create pleasure, it may create tears. And so allowing ourselves to totally be open and to allowing whatever the body needs to do to move through, not to holding on to it, not feeling, oh my God, I'm crying, I'm not meant to be crying when I'm having sex, but just to allowing that to be there and to move through whatever's being released, not needing to understand it with the mind, but just letting the tears roll, that then opens up even more. Because the more we're letting go of any constriction, the more pleasure we can then receive. And yeah, like that.
yes. Cool. Okay. Let me think. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that you want to share with us? Last thing I remember now. Last thing, I would love to know if you could share with us a sexual practice that people can do at home by themselves or with a partner that kind of incorporates the ancient feeling of sensuality as this like revered temple worshipping kind of experience. can you suggest like a ritualized version of lovemaking with the self or with another that we can play with at home?
Yeah, definitely. So in order, my journey to really becoming more orgasmic was through movement, self-love, sound and breath. So if we're starting, if you are a woman, you know, starting with self-love by just touching the body, caressing it, trying different types of pressure and just, yeah, just feeling that, not even starting with the genitals. There can be a whole, however long, like 15, 20 minutes, half an hour of just touch. Maybe even I like putting on some music and just doing a sensual dance and just touching myself and just moving around and just feeling, so to dropping into the body, telling the body, you are loved, you are honored. This is time for you, time for us to connect. And then to bring these ancient connections back in, to using the breath, to visualizing, moving the energy, if we are starting with sexual touch, you know, genital touch, to moving that energy up through the entire chakra and down again, like, you know, like just moving, creating a flow and bringing awareness to all chakras so that the full body, the whole body becomes involved. And then one way also to really become more orgasmic, is to vocalize what you're experiencing. So if it feels good, just give it a sound, you know, and just and then as your brain is hearing that sound, it knows that, yes, this is meant to feel good, this is feeling good. But I'm feeling that really the starting point is that self-love, is that touching, that gentle touch, that honoring.
Thank you. And as I'm about to wrap up, I can feel our energetic audience. I can always feel the audience on the right-hand side of me. And they really want to know too much. You know how you talked about the fear of being too much? I feel like we're talking about this sexual power, like when it's unleashed, it's massive and it can have a woman radiate in the street and a man like be so strong as he walks through the street. Like, I'm sure that there are some people who have put a lid on that because they're afraid that it is too much. How did you overcome the fear of being too much with a partner? By yourself, I mean, I guess we can figure that out, but with a partner, how did you overcome that?
There is an awareness. It's about awareness that it's... Is it about awareness? Yeah, no. To me, there wasn't a conscious time, which is why I'm struggling with the question. I can't go, oh, yeah, I remember that time. This is what I did. It feels like it's been more of a gradual journey. Not care. I know that sounds maybe selfish, but just don't care what anybody else thinks. And trusting and knowing that if you're going into that realm, he'll come with you. He'll just come with you, and you can give both of you the permission to experience something that you may not have experienced before. I had a slightly different question in the workshop recently, like when you're glowing, how do you not give the wrong signals to somebody? If you're sexually empowered and you're on walking down the street, how do you not get misunderstood when you're doing that? And I feel like it's, whilst we don't need to shut it down, it's about, you know, this is my space, my energy, my passion, and whilst I might be extending that field, I'm not giving it to you. So this is just my pleasure, my state of being. And if we're really clear on that, like everything is coming down to intention. You know, if you have that intention to bring your partner into saying, look, I'm going to be all of who I am, and I'm just letting you know that. So if I go wild, if I suddenly scream or shout, or if I suddenly cry, is that okay? So you almost, you know, you're pre-framing what might happen so that when it happens, you don't have to withdraw and shut down again, but you can go further into it, and you tell him to, you know, encourage you in doing that as well.
So funny that you said intention, because while you were answering the too much question, I realized that it's kind of similar to how I do podcast interviews, in that we set the intention beforehand. We have a shared understanding of what we're hoping to create.
Exactly.
And then whatever comes out, it's like, if it's completely off topic from what we thought it was going to be, we trust that that is what the divine wanted to experience through us in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's like that. And in my own sexual experiences, I stopped caring how it felt for someone else, and I just did what felt good for my body. So even if I was pleasuring someone else, it was how I was enjoying it. Like, I've refused to do anything that didn't feel good for me to give in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just let my body choose and, like, follow what feels good for me to give and what feels good for me to receive. And I think that's all we kind of can do, like, set the intention and then follow what feels good in that moment. And also I want to leave people with the idea that if you can give yourself permission, that's the main thing. Like, you can't be looking for approval from someone else. You need to give yourself permission to be all of who you are, in bed, out of bed, wherever it is. Like, you are the only person who can give yourself permission and decide that you are just the right amount of everything that you are. Otherwise, in your external world, you're going to create people, because we are, like, internal world, external world, all a reflection. We're going to create people around us who reflect back to us that we're too much, until we understand that we are just right. So it really is about giving yourself permission, I feel, as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing all that you have, Crystal. How do people come find you? Because I'm sure that they want to know how they can come to that Temple of Isis workshop particularly.
Yes, they can find me on goddessreawakening.com. And there is another workshop coming up in Melbourne at the end of August. So that's being put in place because there's so many people wanted more and wanted to share that with their friends, so that together we can create a culture where more women are shining their light and giving themselves permission to shine. And if we have friends around us, then we can reflect that back to each other. So, yes.
And do you do sessions online for the people who aren't in Australia?
Yes, I do one-on-one sessions on Zoom as well. And I've got an online program as well, which is called Get Out of Your Job and Into Your Journey, which is more, it's not so much around the sexuality, although that plays a massive part in it as well, because it is our life force as women. It is more about, you know, finding your purpose and really stepping in alignment with your purpose so that you can get your message to a bigger audience. So I do that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Crystal, and thank you everyone for listening. We get to have the best conversations on here, don't we? Asian sexuality, modern dating, and how it all goes together. This has been so much fun. And it is only possible because people like you listen from home. So thank you. Thank you for caring enough about yourself and your partner and your potential partners and the world that you are interested in this kind of conversation. If you have enjoyed this conversation, I ask you to please share it with your tribe. If you share it, more people can have these kinds of sexual experiences and life force flowing through their body and radiating out, and then you get to enjoy that as well. You enjoy their pleasure radiating out. So please do share if you've enjoyed it and you found it useful. You can also come to the Lightworkers Rising Facebook page and join Crystal and I to have a conversation around this. What questions do you still have after listening to this episode? You can find the post that has Crystal and I, our beautiful faces on there, and you can ask us your questions. We can start a conversation about the stuff that really matters in the world, and I think this really matters, so let's do that. And now Crystal and I are going to head over to do our secret episode, and you can imagine that this podcast was juicy, so what we're going to talk about behind the scenes in Crystal's life must be juicy. I am so excited to hear. You know, we're going to go morning routine and all of that sort of stuff, but I hope Crystal will allow us to talk about her her own sexual experiences as well a little bit. So let's dive into that. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret to get more juicy behind the scenes on Crystal's life. And I will see you all next week. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions from the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.